All of us have sort of been on a treasure hunt most of our lives in search of a perfect destination and a perfect place to get us there. You and I know this morning in this group that that perfect person is Jesus, and that the perfect destination is heaven. And for all of us as believers who have met here together this morning, we know that person. We know that destination, but we still have a problem this morning. We're not there yet. We know him, and we know what's ahead, and we spent some time this summer talking about heaven and what it's all about, but we're not there yet, you and I. And all the while, God has some things for us to continue to learn. Because that's the way it is in this whole world. Jesus said, you will have trouble. There will be tough days ahead. But take courage. Be not afraid. I'll be with you all the way. And even though we are connected, a great word, connected as a family of God and a small group of friends who meet, and we're connected in our families and we feel really good about that, we're still going to face those stresses, those pressures every week, because we did last week, and we can expect to face them again. There are layoffs at work, slowdowns in the economy, flare-ups in the Middle East, downturns in the market, constant threats of terrorism, and the continuing real fears of swine flu, and so much more. But we still have to put one foot in front of the other, plodding ahead and facing the next hurdle, because we have not yet arrived at that ultimate destination, the kingdom of heaven. We're not there yet. That concept was captured so well by Jesus himself, who said, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. What kind of treasure? It's like a treasure hidden in a field, and when a man found it, he hid it again, and then his joy went and sold all that he had to buy the whole field. Interesting story, Lord. It was a vivid picture to me of the joy of surrendering lesser treasures to find greater ones, as well as the joy of finding an eternal treasure that surpasses the cost to obtain something temporal. Now, this parable of the hidden treasure is one of the many illustrations Jesus made using money and possessions. In fact, he spoke about money maybe more than any other subject. Why? Probably because there's a fundamental connection between our spiritual lives and how we think about and how we handle our stuff, our money. And it strikes me this morning that many of us try to divorce our faith from our finances, but God sees them as inseparable. My approach to money and my possessions, the treasure, if you please, isn't just important, it's central to my spiritual life. Let me show you. Did you bring your Bible? Will you turn with me to Matthew's Gospel and find chapter 6 and locate verse 19, 20, and 21. Matthew 6, 19, 20, and 21. Here's our Lord's teaching about this matter, the treasure. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where there neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's it. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What's in your treasure chest? Is the point that all the stuff in my treasure chest is bad for me? No, at least not necessarily. But they won't last, is Jesus' point. There's a beautiful Proverb 23:5 that says, cast but a glance at treasures and they are gone, they will surely sprout wings and fly away. Isn't that wise of Solomon? What a picture. My prized possessions, you know, sprouting wings and flying away. Jesus said, absolutely, sooner or later they will disappear. That's just the facts. Believe that, accept that, Jesus said. And when I think about my own treasures for a moment, that is the earthly stuff in my box, like clothes or car or houses or 401 plans for the future or Bronco tickets or signed footballs, a motorcycle. Man, I got a lot in my chest, don't I? Don't laugh. You've got your own list. God knows it. When I think about my stuff in my treasure chest, I want to share with you this morning the first, what I'm going to call, treasure truths that I learned from this parable, this story of Jesus himself, and that is, if God does own everything, then I'm just the manager. Do you believe that? I mean, you've heard that before. You know that. God owns everything. I'm just the manager. Here are some scriptures that I think really hit close to home about that. In the Psalms, I read, "The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." From the prophets, "The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord God Almighty." From the book of the law, "Remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth at all." And from the New Testament letters, "You are not your own, you were bought with a price." God is the owner of everything. He even owns me. He's never surrendered his claim to all my precious treasures. He didn't die and leave the earth to me or anyone else. He wants me to understand that all that stuff that may seem so valuable to me is really his. If I could only think that way, then why would I worry about whether or not I can keep it if it really belongs to him? There's no limit to his resources. Do I trust him? Can I live by faith and not by fear? But understanding rightful ownership is only half the battle. If God is the owner, then he expects me to be a manager. I need to adopt a steward's mentality toward the things that are mine. No, I mean the things that are given to me for my use, the things entrusted to my care. A steward manages things for the owner's benefit. If I am a steward, then there is to be no sense of entitlement to what I manage for him. It's my job to find out what my owner wants done with those assets and carry out his will through them. Jerry Cavan's testimony is written up in a Christian money management newsletter, demonstrates that well. He says this, I quote, "I had a successful restaurant, two banks, a ranch, a farm, and several real estate ventures. And at the age of 59, I went searching for a nice lakeside retirement home. But the owner," capital, "the owner had other plans. God led me to put my money and time in his work here and overseas. It's been so exciting. Before, we gave token amounts at our house. Now we are able to put substantial amounts in God's kingdom work. What made the difference?" He writes, "I realized one day God's ownership over me. And once we understood that as a couple, we realized we were really giving God's money away and to do God's work in his way. We discovered a peace and a joy we never had back when we thought all that stuff was ours." Great way to look at it, Jerry. And whenever I think that I'm the owner, and I worry like I'm the owner, and I'm stressed out like I'm the owner, that's a red flag, Dave. We should be thinking like stewards, God says. Like investment managers, always looking for the best place to invest the owner's money. In fact, at the end of our life here on earth, we're going to undergo a pretty impressive job performance evaluation as stewards. Listen, for we will all stand before the judgment seat of God, and so then each one of us will give an account of himself to God. That's what's ahead. Each of us, he wrote. He's the owner. I'm the manager. Our name is on God's account. We have unrestricted access to it, a privilege that is certainly subject to much abuse. How much better would it be if we could view God's money that I am managing? Then I might even have some fun. I might even have some joy. There might even be an attitude of excitement in my ability, my privilege to give. Your pastor needs to say that and think that and live that. And so do you. Paul wrote, when he wrote, God loves a cheerful giver. He didn't mean that we should give only when we're feeling cheerful. That's not what he meant at all. The cheerfulness often comes during and after the act of obedience, not before it. So don't wait until you feel like giving. Just give to God and watch the joy begin to flow. That is God's promise. God delights in that kind of giving. He wants us to find the joy in giving. For many of us, it's a difficult thing to do, especially in hard times. But not what he has promised. If you and I have a heart before him that loves to give to his work and kingdom growth all over the world, he delights in that. He blesses that. What command could be greater pleasure to obey than that one? The Macedonian Christians got it. They did. Listen to this. Out of the most severe trials, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. What? In a time of difficulty, in real serious poverty, they had joy in their giving? You see, giving isn't just a luxury of the rich. It is a privilege of the poor. When our guys got back from Haiti this summer, I heard one of them up here say, that's one of the poorest places you can find. But we met some of the richest people on earth. With their joy in their lives to share with somebody else, to love them and us as we love them back. It's not just for the rich. It's a blessing for the poor. What a year this has been for Mountain View givers. And thank you, Jamie, for your report. I rejoice with you about that. Last year, about this time, we went through a tough ordeal of putting that all together for a new year. Many of you were with us, and we had to make some important and tough decisions about the budget. And then we challenged each other, and we went to prayer about it. And we gathered our estimates of what we could do very confidentially and very privately, and then set forth a budget in light of that, and God has met that need. We thought of that earlier. Many Mountain View believers get it. Get it. They get it. What did Jesus say? Do not, Dave, store up for yourself treasures on earth. Don't work so hard at getting more and more in your treasure box. Because that stuff really just disappears. It rusts. It goes away. It becomes less and less important. Rather, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Be about kingdom business. Think about God's kingdom work and where it's going, where it's touched your life, and get involved there in it. For where your treasure is, Jesus said, there your heart will be also. Okay? I get it. All right? God, you're the owner of everything. I haven't acted that way. I haven't lived that way this last week again. I've acted like I got my own stuff and I've been protecting it and watching over it and cleaning it. Father, I'm sorry. Really, everything is yours. What am I so worried about? What am I so worked up about? It's really yours. I get it. You're the owner. I'm just the manager. You're counting on me to do a good job of managing your resources you've lent to me. Forgive me, Father, where I have failed in that. Help me understand the truth of that story and begin placing resources in your work, Father. Not mine. It's not mine. It's yours. It's a joy to give when our hearts are like that. Then we want to give. Then we enjoy it. It's fun. It's fun. Would it be great? Have you learned that over the years, certain times in your life that was just tough to give anything? You just fought it. It was ugly. It was sickening. Every time something was mentioned, you just were repelled by it. And then other times you learn, if we give, God blesses that. If we give, I want to have a good heart in that. And God just seemed to be so pleased with that, and He ministered to me and my family. And thank you, Lord. Thank you. Show us more and more days like that. As a church and as individuals that make up your body of here we call Mountain View. I get it. You're the owner. I'm just the manager. Help me manage those treasures well. Let's pray. Oh God, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be the one to convict my heart and my soul about what is rightfully yours. We got it all messed up, Father, and I do as well, and I forget that this stuff is yours. You have created everything. You've given. If you didn't give us life tomorrow, we wouldn't have any of those things to enjoy. We'd be with you, which is so much better. We just think temporary, and we clutch our stuff. We need to open hands and release that stuff to you and see what you're going to do with it and what you're going to do in our hearts about it. So may Jesus Christ, your Son and my Savior, who spoke the words about my treasure being in heavenly things, be honored and praised here today and this week in my resources. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Jeff?
I sat and listened like we all have just done, and I think back over the ministry years of my life. I have been talking a lot of years to high school kids, but trying over the 37 years of trying to help folks look at a Savior, meet an owner, and I have come away so many times seeing where people thought, you know, if I'm ever going to get close to God, He's going to want too much from me. If I'm ever going to really meet him relationally, I got to give up too much. And as we conclude our service this morning, I really would encourage that if you have any hint of that, then something is really skewed in the communication loop. There may be somebody here today that has never met Jesus personally, that the whole reality of salvation is foreign. If that's the case, then as you consider, as I sat and considered, that the owner of all of creation and takes us into something that's beyond our scope of ability to understand, and that is eternity, invites and welcomes. If, as we conclude a time here, that's not something familiar to you, we would so invite you to come talk with one of us in the front afterwards. Call the church office. Talk in a way to know that the owner is not trying to take from, the owner's trying to welcome in. And if that whole reality of salvation is foreign to you, a very personal Savior wants to give. We would always offer at the end of our time together an opportunity, if you would like to be a member of this family, if you'd like to kind of formalize being a part of us, that is also an invitation, welcome and open every Sunday here. Come if that's of interest. We've had times in the past where we've prayed, where folks would be here kneeling in a way that postures themselves saying, God, there's something really important in my life. I need help. If that's a reaction from where you find your heart stirring, would you know that that's also a very open invitation to you? We want, like crazy, to help all of us who belong here and all of us who would be here visiting today to know that this owner, rich beyond comprehension, is also so personalized and so focused into each heart.